We've been noticing these last several weeks from the story of Joseph, the portrayal of Christ as the one who was here, rejected of his brethren, sold into Egypt, put in a pit in the dungeon, and raised to the throne of Pharaoh. Today, we desire to conclude the message which is on the story of Joseph. And we have before us today the restoration of Joseph's brethren, a most beautiful picture again of the Lord's dealings with the souls of men. There is here, however, a dispensational picture which I would like to mention first of all. That is, the brethren of Joseph speak to us of the Jewish nation of Israel. We know that the Jewish people rejected the Lord Jesus when he was here. They said, "Away with him, we will not have this man to reign over us." We have seen this pictured for us in the brethren's rejection of Joseph and their selling him into the hands of the Egyptians. Now the time is coming, according to the word of God, when the Lord will restore Israel as a nation. It will take place after the rapture, after this church age, which began at the day of Pentecost and will conclude with the rapture, the coming of Christ for the church. Then God will again begin his dealings with Israel as a nation, and he will bring them through great troublous times in order to produce in them a state of repentance for their restoration to him. And Israel is going to bow the knee, just as Joseph's brethren had to bow the knee to him. So there is a day coming when Israel, converted again to God, restored to receive Christ as their Messiah, will bow the knee and gladly own him as their Messiah, their Lord and their King. That day is coming. Now, however, I desire to use the picture of this restoration of Joseph's brethren in more of an individual way, to show how God works today to seek to win souls to himself, the needful, skillful work that is going on through the ministry of the Spirit of God to produce in souls and hearts the repentance necessary for the restoration and blessing, the deliverance that men need. From chapters 42 to 47, we have this picture drawn for us again in the way that Joseph deals with his brethren to bring their conversion about. I would like then to speak today on the subject of conversion. I trust that every listener will heed the message, because as we think of the words of the Lord Jesus, we realize the importance of such a subject. In Matthew 18, he says, "Except ye become converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God." You know, dear hearer, there is this divine necessity. Conversion, what is it? What does the Lord mean about being converted? I believe that we have in Joseph's dealings with his brethren and their response to those dealings a picture of how souls are converted to God today. Going back to Genesis 42, and if you have your Bibles, I would ask that you follow with me. First of all, we will notice that for conversion, there must needs be a realization of the need of conversion. Many people do not realize they need to be converted. Conversion is not turning over new leaves, nor is it putting on an outside coat and taking it off again. Conversion is that which is from the inside, a work done within, and that which then gives character to the life that is lived without. What brought about the realization of their need was the famine. The famine finally reached into the land of Canaan itself. And Jacob, as he looks upon his sons and sees hunger staring them in the face, he says, "Get you down to Egypt and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die." It's a grand point in the soul's history when the realization is brought to bear upon one's heart that he has a need, that he is on the way to die, that he is desperate. You know, for 20 long years, Joseph's brethren went on living an easy and apparently prosperous life, and I have no doubt that they didn't think of Joseph very often at all and his sorrow which they had caused him. But you know, God has a way of bringing us to realize our need. He causes pressure to come. He causes tribulation to come, difficulties to arise. You know, you can thank God for everything that He allows if it causes you to think of your need. And you have a need in your soul if you've never been converted. God loves these souls just as Joseph loved his brethren. And God saw to it that He was going to make them realize their need of Joseph. And so you'll notice God works today to bring us to see that we need Christ. You may have everything that this world could provide. You may have riches, you may have love of loved ones, but yet that is insufficient to satisfy the longings and the needs of your soul. You need food. They had dainties, as we read later on. They had nuts, and they had myrrh, they had balm, but you can't live on that. You may have all the dainties of this world, but what you need is food. And food is found in Christ. Food for the soul is Himself alone. He says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." The second thing needed for conversion, next to that felt need of it, is that we must go to the source of supply. And you notice in the story, Joseph's brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. Egypt was where the corn was. There was no other land that had the supply to meet the need that the famine produced. And why was this? Joseph was there. Joseph was the one who had stored up the storehouses for the time of famine. The time of famine had arrived. And there was bread in Egypt, and Egypt alone. One must go to Egypt. One must go to the storehouses in Egypt. It reminds us, does it not, of the story of the prodigal in Luke 15. The prodigal went his own way for a while. He was having a good time, and as long as he had all the money that he had friends, but he began to be in want. The pinch came. We realize that no man gave unto him when he became hungry. He fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. And God has to allow us to get pretty low. Am I talking to one that is feeling the pinch, the pressure of things today? You know, very often when difficulty comes, people say, "Why did this happen to me?" It's a good question. And if there's one today who is going through trouble, oh, our sympathy goes out to you. But, oh, dear hearer, we would ask that you would stop and consider. If you are asking the question, "Why did this happen to me?" God is trying to reach your soul. God is trying to speak to your heart and conscience of your need of Christ. I think we have that pictured for us here. And you must go to the Father. You must go to Joseph. You must go to the storehouses of Egypt. In a word, you must go to Christ. The prodigal is a picture of the one that comes home. He comes with a confession. He says, "I will arise and go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants.'" I think we can see a parallel in Joseph's brethren going into Egypt to the prodigal, being touched to the depths, to repentance, and then arising and going home to have his need met. They came to the source of supply. There is only one source of supply. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you must make the decision to go. Joseph's brethren made the decision and they went. The prodigal made the decision and he went. Both of them found their needs met through the goodness of Joseph, through the love and goodness of the Father. And I can say this today, that if you come in all your need to Christ, go to him in repentance, you will find that he will receive you. He'll be as good as his word. He will not cast you out. He will meet your need. He will satisfy that longing in your heart. He will save you from your sin. He will give you everlasting life. You shall live forever with joy and peace, unspeakable and full of glory. But in order to be converted, the third thing to be considered is this, that the conscience must be reached. One does not only feel his need, that is a necessity, but he must have his conscience probed to be brought to repentance. And you know, these chapters 42, 43, and through 45, show the skillful work of Joseph, the skillful work of love in probing the consciences of his brethren. He could have revealed himself to them immediately. When they came to him, they bowed down to him. They did not know who he was, but he knew who they were. And I have no doubt that his heart would have longed to reveal himself immediately to them. But no, that would not be love. He realized that they had a need. He desired the restoration of their soul. And if their soul was to be restored, they had to be probed to the depths. And he begins this work. I would ask that you read it. I'm going to mention just a few things which he does in the story, and no doubt if you're familiar with it, you will recall the points. But first of all, he speaks to them very roughly in verse 7 of chapter 42, and he charges them with being spies. Now, they were not that. But you know, he did that to provoke within them some thought as to what they really were. And then he takes one of them and holds them hostage in prison while they go back to get Benjamin. And you know, they realize that if they had to bring Benjamin, it would go hard on their father Jacob. And they could not understand how this man in Egypt would know so much and demand so much. But it was God back of them. God back of Joseph, seeking to probe them. And it does probe them. In verse 21, they say, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is the distress come upon us." Think of it. I believe this is the first twinge of conscience they ever had as to the guilt of their rejection of Joseph, of their selling Joseph, of their treatment of Joseph, of their hating Joseph. This must be reached. The evil has to be judged. And Joseph goes on. He allows him to go back. And you know what he does? He sees that the money that they brought to pay for the food is put back in their sacks. We get two things here. The first is that he would have them realize that the food that they were to get was without charge. This is God's salvation, beloved, set forth in picture here. You cannot buy it. It's worth too much. You cannot offer. It is free. God's gift. Salvation is a gift. It's not to be purchased with money. It has been purchased for you by the blood of Christ, which is without value. Above the silver and the gold and all the wealth of worlds untold, the precious blood of Jesus Christ is still the gift of love on Christ. And salvation is God's gift that cannot be purchased. Secondly, he would, through the goodness of restoring their money, lead them to repentance. The Bible tells us that it is the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. Well, they go home. They tell the old father all this, and of course, immediately he objects to sending Benjamin down, which was the requisite for their coming again if they were to be received by the ruler of Egypt. If they were to get more bread, they had to have Benjamin. But finally, the pressure becomes so great. They must go. They're low in food. So Jacob says, all right, take Benjamin. They go back. What a sight met Joseph's eye when he saw Benjamin, his own full brother. Their mother had borne two, Benjamin and himself. And now here, he seats them according to their age. This is a mystery to them. You know, God knows all about us. Yes, he knows everything about you. He knows your down sitting and your uprising, and he longs for your salvation and conversion, just as Joseph longed for the restoration of his brethren. He does one more thing. He puts his own silver cup into Benjamin's sack when they return the second time. And before they get along very far, he sends a man after them to recover this cup and charges them with stealing the cup of the ruler of Egypt and saying that the charge demands the punishment of causing this culprit to be a bond slave. Why does he do this? He does this to see how the depths of the hearts of these brothers have been penetrated. In what way do you say? Look, 20 years before, and that's how long it had been, they had no thoughts of love for their brother Joseph. They had no thoughts of love for their father Jacob. Ah, but now the probing has done its work. And when it came to the issue of Benjamin being made captive and a bond slave and injuring their father Jacob, Judah, the spokesman for the brothers, tells out the whole story and comes right down to the bottom of the depths of their guilt, and he casts himself upon the mercy of Joseph. Nothing is hid. Everything is open. And this is the point, beloved, that you must be brought to. And God would labor with you to be brought to that point where you see that you are nothing but a worthless, helpless sinner, deserving nothing but the judgment of God. And Joseph now can refrain himself no longer. He causes every man to go out from him, apart from his brothers. And he says, the first thing he says to them when he's alone with them is, I am Joseph. The fourth thing that is needful in conversion is a personal acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ through the revelation of himself. I am Joseph, he says. Do you know Jesus? Has he been revealed to you as the one that knows all about you, the revealer of secrets, and as the Savior of the world? To the woman at Sychar's well, the Lord said, I that speak unto thee am he. It was that that brought her to conversion. To Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Joseph to his brethren says, I am Joseph whom ye sold into Egypt. Ah, they were troubled or terrified at his presence. But immediately, knowing that the arrow of conviction had done its work, immediately he says, be not grieved. He said, God did send me before you to preserve life and to save your lives by a great deliverance. He hastens to reach their heart. And this he does, as we read in verse 15, moreover, he kissed all his brethren and he wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Have you been converted? To be converted, you first of all must realize your need. Secondly, you must make your decision to go to the source of supply. Thirdly, your conscience being reached, you must be willing to confess that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Fourthly, you must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed to you through his precious word. God grant that today you might know what it is to be converted to God.